Well, welcome to the Situation Report. It's already August 5th, and so many things going on. I wanted to take a step back, though, today. And first of all, a little Beach Boys doesn't hurt anything. That's always a good song to start with. I picked the Beach Boys this week just because, you know, it's probably the last week of real summer before the total shit show starts. So I figured, why not go all the way in and enjoy the show. So anyway, somebody's knocking on my door. Not sure what that's all about. But interesting weekend. So I've been waiting for Iran to start kicking things off in southern Lebanon. What's interesting about the whole situation right now is we talked about it last week on the roundtable on Thursday and on Wednesday, briefly on Wednesday. And what's funny about the situation, at least from the perspective of, you would have thought that Iran would have unleashed a massive barrage of drones and hypersonic missiles, been crickets. I mean, they killed the Israeli and IDF killed an Iranian general in southern Lebanon. And there's been literally no response. And you would think that there would be a massive response to that, especially considering that they've been saber rattling now for months and months and months. I thought that the situation would have developed quickly over the weekend, and it would have drawn us into the fray, and it would have drawn the IDF into the fray, but instead crickets. And at the same time, the situation on the ground in the UK and Ireland, all of that's planned. Let's get that off. Let's get that on the table right now. That's all planned narrative. The whole point of it is pay some provocateurs to get things started. They get things started. Then you have racial, religious, all kinds of tensions. And then they declare martial law. They've already increased the policing, and they're going door to door. Watch very closely how that develops. because that's coming here next. That is the script. That's the game plan that they're going to use here. The difference is it's not several million. It's like 30 or 40 million illegals in this country right now. And they are doing everything they can to taint the voting system and set it up so that no one will buy the election results. I sure won't. Why should I? The whole thing's a complete lie. And the interesting, you know, aspect of just Arizona politics is that it takes a federal judge, literally a federal judge, to step in, of course, the Ninth Circuit out of California. And they come in and say, yeah, illegals can vote. You don't have to ask ID on a federal election, which you have to be a citizen to vote in this country. It's in the Constitution. This is not a interpretable law. This is an immutable big R right as an American citizen to vote in election. And when did we get women's suffrage? Early 1900s? And what did that take? The same kind of rights, everything else. But you still have to be a U.S. citizen to vote in elections here. So was there a misspelling on the situation report? Wouldn't surprise me. Trying to do it from my phone. The other issue that's going on right now, which probably isn't being, most people aren't paying attention to. We talked about it on Tommy's podcast with Luongo last week. I like Luongo because he sees the situation clearly from the financial side of the house. I can see it from the military side of the house. I can see it from the cultural narrative. I can see it from the information war. But I don't have the deep ties in the financial system and or the interest to drill down and figure out how it all ties together. But all of our movements over the last week are pivoting off of what's going on in Japan. They're in a free fall right now. We're going to be after Europe. Europe will be next. And what I see, and Luongo sees the same, we both see the same thing. We see it's a waiting game. It's a standoff to see which countries are going to collapse first economically. And if you're Vladimir Putin, you don't need to start and escalate the war. You just need to wait out the collapse of the West. And that's how I see him playing it out. Slowly attriting NATO forces to a combat ineffective state, slowly moving across Ukraine. All the while, he's building his gold reserves, just like China's been doing for the last 20 years, and he's waiting for us to collapse. All of those aspects play into the bigger picture that we're seeing right now. And the bigger picture we're seeing right now is this desperate attempt to try and escalate the war and draw in bigger players, especially China and Russia. They have to have a world war to write down the debt. That's what this all is about. So all the saber rattling, all the noise, it's about that. And Iran not taking the bait and jumping into the fray and starting a wider war and escalating a wider war, it says two things to me. And two things can be true at once. So I see that Iran is playing the waiting game too, probably at the behest of Russia. But that said, the other piece of that equation, especially the piece of the equation that matters, is are they an asymmetric fight or are they a direct kinetic fight? And why it matters is the Israelis and the IDF, they're a direct kinetic force. They go head-to-head engagements. If Iran turns out to be an asymmetric fighter and they don't go head-to-head with the IDF, then we already know the outcome of that. And my guess is the IDF already knows that Iran can't mount that kind of an offensive. Maybe they can't, or maybe they're negotiating with Turkey to draw Turkey into it. Hard to say. The aspect that we all struggle with, especially on the roundtable crew, we all struggle with the same, you know, view of how things are going to develop. because as much as we want to say these things are going to come forward, these things are going to be played out, the whole standoff has been the same for the better part of 2 years. No real movement, no real engagements, no deep engagements. It's all this asymmetric engagements from distance using standoff weapons. We haven't seen the close fight between the IDF and Hezbollah. And that's the fight that I think we're all waiting for, because that will be the bigger, the signal for the bigger conflict to start. And the question is, can they do that before the economy collapses? Because when the economy, let's say the economy does collapse. Let's say that it happens in the next 2 to 3 weeks. The real question at that point becomes, how long is it going to take for the American people to turn on their government officials? Because you're going to have three situations going on all at the same time. You'll have the financial collapse, where the banks will do a bail-in, which means they'll collect all the money from all the accounts to save themselves, probably at the behest of the federal government and BlackRock. And then there'll be most likely a failure or a collapse of the logistical system. And at the same time that happens, there'll be kinetic actions, probably by foreign actors all over the US. Hard to say, because why we would have thought that this would have happened earlier, especially the kinetic part with all the foreign fighters. And I've said this before and it bears repeating. Don't marshal the kind of forces that have been put in this country and not do some kind of an engagement within a very close period of time. Look at how we built up in 91 before we went into Iraq and took back Kuwait. It took us 6 months to build enough force projection, as well as enough sustainment and all of our coalition forces. It took us 6 months to move it all in theater. And if you backward plan to 2021, we're 3 years into this. So there's millions and millions of military age males in this country. You would have thought that kinetic activity would have started long before now. But I think that we're in for that level, or at least that kinetic fight, fairly soon. I don't think we're that far away. And I think that it's going to be tied, a lot of it's going to be tied to what happens with the IDF and Hezbollah. There's so many pieces to this that can be, like I said, you can go 100 different directions with this. That's why when I was talking about Trump's assassin, it could go 100 different ways. And what ended up coming out of that? You see that there was a concerted effort by the Secret Service to cover up all the malfeasance and all of the activities that were quote unquote off the books. And we're seeing the same thing right now. So your guess is as good as mine of when this is all going to kick off, but you can see it all starting to move together. The economy's moving towards September, either this month, September, October. And you know, they love October. They love to crash the economy late October, early November, 2008, 1929, all in October. They're not going to change the script. That's the point of all of this. The script is going to be exactly the same, just like the script that we're seeing play out in Ireland and the script that we're playing out in England. And here's my hope for the English people. I would hope that they pick up arms and they go after every one of the fucking politicians that started this and has precipitated this and took the money, because they facilitated genocide of the British people. That means all of those British men, all you British males, you need to get your man card back and you need to see this all the way through. Because when it starts here, we're going to have to see it all the way through. There's no half measures. There's no leaving people to retire and just go quietly. We fight this all the way through. We take down the 300 ruling families across the planet, and then we hold everybody in this country that committed treason to account. Every single fucking one of them. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care what their family name is. I don't care how many kids they have. They all stand trial for treason, all of them. And the same thing has to happen in every single country that this has been perpetrated against. Every oligarch, every family member that was a part of this needs to be held to account. Every single one. And this is going to take decades for us to get through. That's just the reality of it. And it's already starting to come out more and more every day that this is a satanic group of people that we're dealing with. So you can already tell that there is not going to be any negotiated surrender. They're not going to give up quietly or peacefully. They are going to fight until the very end, just like the Japanese did. Think of Iwo Jima. They basically did bonsai charges to the very end when they didn't even have ammo. They just had swords. That's what we're facing. Fanatics. These people are all psychopaths. And here's the proof in the pudding. There's a difference between acting and being a psychopath. Let's just call it that. I watched Nancy Pelosi's tirades, for lack of a better word, over the weekend, about how Joe Biden needs to be on Mount Rushmore. Yeah, I'm not thinking so. But that shows you how divorced from reality these people are. That's not somebody playing a stage act trying to generate some kind of opinion. This is somebody who's been drinking the Kool-Aid so long that they think they're untouchable. And all of that is because these people have been in power too long. They have been facilitated. They have been literally coddled their whole lives. And go back to the Lori Loughlin. Go back to the Lori Loughlin deal with college, where she basically paid money to get her kids into college in the USC. And she was indignant the whole way through. And Felicity Huffman pled out. She did her time in prison. But it shows you just how coddled and entitled these people are. They've been in the system so long, and the system has favored them for so long that they literally can't operate any other way. The whole system has to come to a complete end, and it has to be completely dismantled. Here's the hardest thing that we're going to have to teach our kids. We're going to have to reach our kids what selfless service really means, what something bigger than yourself really means. That's going to take years to do, because what have they been seeing at school? You can have yours. Your rights don't matter. Your individual rights don't matter. They've been taught to subjugate themselves to a higher ruler. We have to dismantle all of that. And we have to dismantle that and reteach. We have to reteach people how to re-enter society. And at the same time, we're going to have to deal with the adverse side effects of the vaccines. We're going to have to deal with deaths from the vaccines. We're going to have to figure out a way to provide long-term care to people that have gotten the vaccine. And it's a fact of life. It's not hypothetical anymore. It's a fact of life. And at the same time, we're going to have to figure out what to do with all the illegals that are in this country. Because if you're paying attention to what's going on in the UK and across Europe, the part that you don't hear is the rape gangs that are going town to town in every single country that they've allowed Middle Easterns and Africans to come in. That culture is pervasive in those countries because basically you don't have the rule of law, and it's a non-trust society. So we've introduced all of these different nefarious elements into a trusting environment. And guess what? They bring their culture with them and they don't change. We used to force people that came to this country to learn the language, to adopt our culture, and to be a part of our culture and integrate into our culture. This nonsense about learning four or five other languages and being accommodating to all these other languages. That all started under the Clintons. That was not a Republican thing in the 80s. That was the Clintons in the 90s. And I can tell you unequivocally that, you can tell my glasses are driving me crazy. I can tell you unequivocally that the whole point of that was to slowly but surely get us to where we are now, which is we have to reteach our society how to be unified. And it's been slowly but surely building these multiple cultures throughout our country. And Obama was the first one. He brought the Somalis over and he brought Ethiopians over and he put them in specific communities throughout the U.S. You probably don't realize that, but there's a huge community of both Muslim and Ethiopians in West Virginia. He built entire cities for them, for lack of a better word. And now what do? They bring their culture with them. They isolate in their little enclaves. And now it's just like Paris. The police don't go in there. There's really no enforcement. And guess what came out of that? Nothing but fraud, crime, racketeering, you name it, and the rape culture. So that's the part you're not hearing right now. So we're going to have to undo all of that. And that means that we're going to have to make decisions. And I've said this before. We're going to have to make decisions that are going to be extremely hard when all this kicks off. And for lack of a better word, this is probably going to be an insurgency for a while until we break the back of the folks that are in power right now. And you don't think that they've thought through all of these or working through this? One of the things that Conrad talks about, which I agree with all the time, is the fact that they have war gamed this out. They have used AI to play out every single scenario that they can think of, and they've war gamed out how to respond to that. The piece that we're all counting on, the piece that haven't seen yet, that I'm waiting to see, which I know will show up, is the law of unintended consequences, meaning they do X and Y and Z happen beyond their control. Regardless of what your personal feelings are, that is going to happen. And that's not me trying to blackpill everybody. That's me saying they haven't thought through the element of, what do you mean we have a mole in the chat? You're going to have to tell me what that means, Vedic. I wasn't really paying attention to the chat. Anyway, we're going to have to go through all of that. And we're going to have to really make hard decisions about how we deal with all of the influx of illegals. It's just not feasible to deport 40 million people. It's a massive Herculean effort. We're going to have bigger problems to solve. We're going to have to make the law enforcement and the integration piece of it, we're going to have to make that very, very stringent. Like in Russia, if you go to Russia, you have a year to learn Russian. You have to integrate within a year. Otherwise, they toss you out. What's wrong with learning English in a year and abiding by our laws? There's nothing wrong with that. We used to enforce that. But again, we have to start all the way over and work forward. So I'm trying to keep up with the chat here. You guys are killing me. What about Chris W? He's been in the chat for months. By the way, I posted something on Twitter over the Twitter and Truth Social over the weekend. So on Saturday, Troop sent me a print. I'm going to read it because I'm just not making this up. It's a screen print of the 107 sit rep, I got to back up. So I've talked several times about 107, the Charlie Ward crowd, that whole group of grifters, and why they get under my skin like a rash. Anyway, okay. I'm not sure what I'm not following that, but. Yeah, I'm seeing the all the chat now. Anyway, too funny. Anyway, so Troop sends me the screen print, and it's from Chris. And by the way, Chris, thanks for sending this, because I spent my coffee out reading this. I saw it last night. I was like, in my best Steve Murray voice, now I know that motherfucker knows he's a shitbag, con Sam. and Such probably knows Murray calls him out. Absolutely. If they're doing a sit rep and they're calling it the 107 sit rep, and it's, you know, now it's a round table. Come on. We know that they're stealing our, you know, trying to steal our format. Come on. Just is what it is, right? Look, they say that, you know, plagiarism is the highest form of flattery. I just think it's funny that, you know, 2 years ago, who was I sitting next to? I was sitting to somebody that's close to Karen Fan, and they were saying, yeah, we met 107. And I said, what'd you think? The guy's really slimy. The guy's really shady. I'm like, oh, grifter. And then at the Patriot Double Down in Vegas, I was there with Jordan Sather, and we were up on the second floor parking deck, and we were outside. I don't know what we were outside for, just, I guess, to take a break. And it up drives 107 and gets out of his car with his boots and his hats and his bullshit. And he's been going on and on and on. Oh, he's from Vegas, blah, blah, blah. His plates are from Florida. And the Aston Martin he was driving was literally registered to somebody else. And he gets out of the car, does a little speech. And Jordan goes, hey, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to get out of his car. He's going to say some bullshit, going to do his little Bible verses. And he's going to not really answer any questions. He's going to get in his car, and he's going to drive away back into the sunset. And that's exactly, because you can pick these guys out of a crowd. Right? Like Charlie Ward's another one. I mean, God, somebody sent me Charlie Ward shit back in like 2011. And the part that's just, I got to shake my head, is that Charlie Ward's been saying probably for 5 years now, quantum financial system is almost ready. And when it is, everybody, $400,000. It's right there. Med beds, they're right there. They're going to go to the kids that are in tunnels first. And then they're going to go to all the veterans that are getting the kids out of the tunnels that have been injured. And then the average civilians will see the med beds. I mean, what's that been going on for like 6-7 years? The Jacera and the Sarah bullshit's been going on for like 10-12 years. Yep. Not working out, not seeing it. So yeah. Anyway, that's the whole 107 thing. I knew he was listening, as people were listening to the show, you know, years ago, because literally I would go on a Monday or a Tuesday and do a sit rep. And on Thursday and Friday, he'd be parroting the same shit that I was talking about the cultural narrative and the elections. And I was like, dude, come on, at least change some of the verbiage so it sounds original. Yeah. It's such as like, I don't get wrapped up in it, right? It's all that nonsense around Jacera and this era, shit that's not real. And it's just a grift more than anything else. And, you know, the one person that's got away from that is Mel Kay. When Mel Kay was right around 2021, Mel Kay was, you know, doing the circuit with Charlie Ward and that whole crew. And she since stepped away from it, but she's the only one. The rest of them are still doing weekly updates. And comes on and 107 says less than 1 hour than most people say their entire lives. So anyway, enough about that. I just think it's funny. Oh, God. What's Derek's last name? What's Derek Johnson? I think that's guys. Oh God. He's talking about military law and the law of war, the law of war manual and UCMJ. Okay. Let me just square that away. So that is literally a bunch of horseshit. That is, first of all, there it's like that. What's that rack? There's that other whack job that was on Alex Jones saying Trump's still the president. He's running everything in the background. It's that genre of bullshit is what it is, right? So Derek Johnson's talking about military tribunals, and that goes along the lines of the what is it, Real Raw News or whatever that is. God, that's another one. Rumor Mill News, that's another one too. That's all the alien stuff, but it's all the same shit. It's all this massive grift to get you to believe in all these things that aren't real. Look, this is why I'm so direct about things, because we spend more time on this side of the fence, and I mean the conservative side of the fence, trying to unwind lies and grift and bullshit than we do anything else. And it's like the whole thing, right? Or the deep underground bases or that bullshit. There's no proof of any of it. None whatsoever. You notice how there's never any pictures or video or anything like, do you know how hard it is to keep a fucking secret in the military? Do you know the biggest problem we had on the ground in Iraq was keeping the Joes away from their goddamn phones and stop posting shit on YouTube, giving away all our operational security? That was the hardest thing to do because they wanted to get out there and post on social media and be influencers while they're in the fight. And it just blew up our operational security. So you're telling me that we got people going into these deep underground bases that are 10 miles below the ground, and they're filled with aliens that we're working with, that we're trading shit with. And oh, by the way, there's no fucking pictures. Really? Really? I'd be a phone snapping bitch down there like, hey, that's a lizard. Picture, picture, picture. Hey, that's a bug. Picture, picture, picture. Hey, that's a gray alien. I mean, come on. Bob Lazar was in the program with EG&G for like a month. And he went on Japanese TV and said, yeah, they test UFOs every single Wednesday night. Japanese phone crew goes out there. Guess what? UFOs flying around Area 51. How do you fuck? And you're telling me that these guys are going into deep underground bases with aliens and they can't fucking see anything or they can't take any pictures? Get the fuck out of here. This is the dumbest shit I've ever heard. That's the stuff we have to unwind, is that nonsense. And then you got these guys like Gene Decode and Sarge and all these other bullshitters that go on and talk about shit and none of it, no proof, any of it. That's the shit we have to unwind. You know what the left thinks of all this? They all think it's bullshit. Trump assassination, bullshit. Deep underground bases, bullshit. Trust the plan, Q, bullshit. Crazy people. That's what they think. That's exactly what they think, literally. And we spend all of our time trying to unwind all that. We spend all of our time trying to, you know, get people off of the ledge and get people out of the whole religion of Q, because it's a religion now. And have you ever tried to talk to somebody who has spent all their time going through all these decodes and doing all the deep dive? You can't. You can't talk them off the ledge. They're so convinced that the military is going to step in. They're so convinced the Space Force is going to step in. So, yeah, that's why I go after the grifters. That's why I talk plain English about this is what I see. In fact, the situation report was created because I was getting all that. And guys were saying, how much of this is real? And literally, the situation report was created so we could say this is what we see. And it was a team of us doing it. And then I became the de facto voice of it. And here we are. So, oh, Bradley, thanks for the donation. Appreciate that. I'll get that to Troop. My take on the grid down, rolling blackouts, I think it's weeks. I don't think it's months. I think it's weeks. Could be 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, but it's within weeks. It will be before the election. In California, rolling back blackouts can happen anytime because they're fucked anyway. So, but I think we're going to see that before the election, if not social disorder and kinetic, as well as rolling blackouts, logistical issues. I think we'll see all of it before November. And trust me, I would love to be wrong. I would love to see some good guys in the military apparatus go arrest a bunch of people. I would love to see Trump come back. I would love to see the election process fixed. I don't see any of that. I see they're institutionalizing the cheating. They're depleting the strategic oil reserve. They're trying to get us into a wider war. They're depleting all our strategic war stocks. They've sent them all to Ukraine. They're depleting our air reserve fleet. They're sending all, a bunch of F-16s. Do you know where all those F-16s have come from that they sent over to Ukraine? They all came out of IMARC, out of the boneyard. They pulled them out of retirement. They refurbed them, which took about a year, 2 years to do. And now they're on the front line over there and they'll get smoked in a day or so. So it is what it is. So, you know, as far as how long will that last, the rolling blackouts could be weeks or months, probably no less than 2 weeks, probably no longer than 3 months. They don't want to burn the house down. They want to drive us into the social scoring system and the QR codes and the digital currency. That's the end state what they want to reach. Go look at Sri Lanka. Has anybody heard anything about Sri Lanka? That was the test case to do this. They ran them out of food, water, power. They ran their old leadership out, brought in new leadership. First thing they did, issue QR codes for food, gas, and universal basic income. They've already tried universal basic income here and it didn't work. So now they're off to something else. So I foresee them trying to do that, which is why I see all these lines of operation collapsing. The other piece that they're going after is food. They're going after protein. They want to move the world off of protein. And they want to move us all to bug-based protein or micro livestock, bugs. We're not designed to eat bugs. So, yeah. Okay, Tomahawk, thanks for that. I'll get that to Troop 2. So I actually just Venmo'd him or sent $160 that you guys and Puke Bucket had sent over a few weeks ago. The way this works, just so you know, you guys may pledge tonight, but Rumble doesn't pay it out. I think they pay it out every 90 days. It's not a monthly thing. I see, you know, sporadic payments from Rumble, and it's based on views, it's based on donations, etc. So, and by the way, the link for those bunch of people asked me today about where to find the t-shirts. The link for the t-shirts is in the description, so along with the Substacks in the description. And just so you know, I get $4 off of every t-shirt. So this is not a moneymaker. It basically covers the tax that for pushing the charge through and the bank fees. That's really all it does. So, but anything left over, I think I figured out it's like $1.21. Once that pays out every 90 days too. Once that gets paid out, that'll all go to Troop 2. So I don't think there's anything else. Anyway, so they're Bangladesh. Shithole. The Clinton Foundation's there. Enough said. And here's where the rubber meets the road with the Clinton Foundation. Everywhere they go, everywhere they have been, they leave destruction in their wake. And the only thing that they get out of it is child trafficking. But I can tell you that the Clinton Foundation is there, just like the DR, just like Haiti. Clinton Foundation was supposedly there. They were going to build all these schools and churches and infrastructure. They knew shit. All they did was harvest kids. That should answer your question. I think that's, they're going to do a brutal crackdown. They're going to keep the middle managers in place, just like in Venezuela. And they're going to keep the middle manager in place down in Brazil. And they're going to keep the middle managers in place that benefit China and Russia. And everybody in Europe thinks that China and Russia are both middle managers as well. So it is what it is. But anyway, the other side of the fence there too is that when you look at the situation in Sri Lanka, there hasn't been any updates since they issued the QR codes. I'd be very curious to see where that country is now, because they really, they're like some of the islands, island chains throughout the Pacific. There's not a lot of natural resources there. So they're at the behest of what they import, just like China's a net importer. If you're a net importer, you have to sell services. So I'm not sure what is coming out of Sri Lanka that's driving an influx other than the globalists. So I'd be curious to see what the update is there. I looked today to see if I could find something. Literally, it's dark across all of the media. So it's very interesting that once they did the QR codes, it just went dark. The other one that I think is going to go dark is going to be Venezuela. That'll go dark for that whole thing with Maduro and Elon Musk. That was all noise. I don't pay attention to that shit. I don't care about it. I don't pay attention to it. Where the rubber meets the road is when Maduro is on a plane with his family and all his close friends, and they're leaving the country. Then you know that the insurgency has cracked the back of the military. And they've had hyperinflation for years. In fact, when hyperinflation kicked off, Venezuelans left and went into Colombia, they went into Brazil, they went into all the neighboring countries. And that was just recently that we've been importing Venezuelans through the Darien Gap. And Michael Yon talks a lot about the different nationalities and the timing of when they come through. And I think he did it with Tucker Carlson. So if you want to know what that looks like, go watch the Tucker Carlson interview with Michael Yon. As far as how things develop in Israel, Israel is the catalyst that the elite are looking for to start a wider war. If Iran is really smart, they'll just wait it out until the economies collapse. Because the situation in Japan with their economy, that's a serious event. In fact, they sold off billions in U.S. debt. And we've been printing money, literally just printing money, for 4 years. And we can't continue that cycle. And we'll get hyperinflation as well. It's just a matter of time before that hits us. And it's just a matter of time before that system goes to Europe, collapses Europe, and then we'll be last. That's literally how the dominoes fall. And I think that that's going to happen. I saw that in Sri Lanka. They didn't just ban the fertilizer. They banned other chemicals as well. And they also banned something else they banned. I can't think what it was. But anyway, so I was going towards the World War aspect of this. The elite in Europe desperately want a world war to write down the debt. Luongo is spot on about that. And I think that he's spot on that we are going to wait them out. And a fight between the non-Eurofags and globalists here, between the globalists and the Eurofags in Davos and in Europe. And it's a waiting game. Like I said, it's a game of chicken. So the Fed's not going to lower rates. Sorry. Jerome Powell has said over and over and over again, and his key statements were echoed. Actually, they were first coined by Jamie Dimon and then echoed by Jerome Powell, speaking from, you know, Jamie Powell speaking through Jamie Dimon speaking through Jerome Powell, saying that we don't have a reason to lower interest rates right now because there's non-inflationary, or we're not seeing the non-inflationary stimulus on the economy warrant a rate decrease. That's what he just said a week ago. And they've already said, both Jamie Dimon and Jerome Powell have already said that they don't care what the effect on the economy is by keeping the rates high. They're trying to drive the banking system to act differently, to get out of the zero interest rate game that they played in 2008 to stimulate all the banks. It was basically free money that gave all the banks the opportunity to issue all these low interest loans for zero, costing the bank zero and charging you money The Fed's trying to get the banking system out of that so they actually have real balance sheets. But it's not going to help because we have too much Fed, and now the interest payments on the federal debt is more than the payments on the debt. We're basically living off of borrowed time right now. So it's not going to matter. It's just going to slowly but surely collapse. And like I said, once this starts, this has to go. We have to see this all the way through. And we have to make sure everybody that was in this system. And the other thing we need to do, which is, I don't know how this will happen without a world war, but this three-tiered banking system where you have the International Monetary Fund, you have the World Banks, and you have these regional world banks that basically have a separate level of income for all of the top bankers in the world, to where they literally have their own banking system. All that shit needs to go away, all of it. And all of this, the entire class of oligarchs needs to go away. I keep saying that, and I'm not saying that from a socialist point of view. I'm saying that from a discipline point of view. We can't allow our society to have people that are so far above the law and with so many resources that they can control entire continents. That has been the problem with South America and Central America for centuries. Those entire continents are controlled by a very, very small number of families that have been in charge forever. Mexico is run by two families, literally by two families. And it's been that way for decades. That all has to change. It has to change so that you can't have people that are so rich, that they're so far above the law, that they completely throw off the societal balance. I don't know how to do that. I'm not the guy to think through that. But just look at what Bill Gates has done. This guy has killed millions of people in a variety of ways, and he has not stood trial, and nobody's even talking about making him stand trial. That has to change. That absolutely has to change. And that's not a communist thing. That is, if you want the entire society to move in one direction and move in that direction with a purpose, then you have to make the balance exist so that you don't have these upper class, lower class tiers where there's a very few people at the top that call the shots for everybody. We've been living under that system for hundreds of years. That's why I talk about all these monarchs. All the fucking monarchs need to go. All of them. All of them. Without exception. Especially the fucking Windsors. They're pedophiles. They're Satanists. They all need to fucking go. We cannot allow these kind of people to be in power any longer. Because the only thing that happens is that they skew the system so that you have serfdom. If you want to go to space, if you want to meet other races, if you want to do things that are unified as a planet, you can't take any of these fucking politics to space. You can't. You can't take any of these politics outside of this planet. Because other races would look at us, and let's just take some examples, right? If you're a highly advanced race and you have telepathic powers, which supposedly all the stories are, it's a common thread, right? Three common threads. Telepathic powers, they have the ability to self-heal, they have the ability to kinetic or telekinetically move objects, hama-hama, right? So they're very advanced beings, at least. If I look at all the commonalities in the stories, those are the three or four things that I see, right? You don't get to that level of evolution if you're wrapped up in the politics like we are now. You don't get to that level of evolution by genetically altering your entire civilization, because usually that happens when you genetically alter a civilization, they die off, which is what we're seeing right now. And if we don't die off completely, then guess what? We have to fix that and unify the entire planet. You can't do that when you have a very small group of people at the top that are trying to hoard all the resources for themselves. That narcissism doesn't lend itself to unity, doesn't lend itself to diplomatic relationships with other races. And, you know, people talk about breakaway societies. I don't know if I believe any of that shit. I'm just looking at this from a practical sense. If we want to go meet other races, then we can't be this primitive, very, very petty, very, very narcissistic group of people that goes out into space and wants to be equals with everyone else. We have to change the balance on the planet so that it's a balanced situation with both nature and with us. And I'm not talking about climate change. I'm talking about balancing the resources that we use and getting out of this framework where our whole value system is based on how much stuff that we have, how much, you know, luxuries that we have. When you go back in history, this entire civilization has been recreated multiple times at the very same footprint, and it always fails. It always fails for the same reason. The narcissism, the pettiness, the hedonism, they all take over, and society loses its framework. And when it starts to lose its framework, then you see what we're seeing now. Society frays and all options. And it's because a very small group of people hoard all the resources and then they leave everybody else to fend for themselves. That doesn't bring together unity or common purpose. You know, we had it after World War II. The U.S. had a golden opportunity to unify the entire world. But what did we do? We did exactly what we did before the war. We were going out to all these different countries. We were setting up commercial endeavors. We were claiming all the strategic resources, exactly what China's doing right now. They've been doing for the last 10 years. They've been literally going around buying up all the mineral rights, water rights, and they've been feeding all these poor countries money so that they could go and exert their influence and take over the region. We did exactly the same thing. If we would have actually gone in a different direction after World War I, then this would be a different planet. And there would be no place for guys like Maduro or Lula or any of the rest of the, you know, middle managers to exist. Because the country, the world would be on a different footing. It would be on a footing of a common purpose. It would be on a merit-based system that rewarded people for not just how well they did in business, but rewarded people for how well they did doing and serving society and bringing society together and real innovation to society. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you saw a breakthrough technology that wasn't completely dominated by the tech bros or by the billionaires? When was the last time you saw that? When was the last time you saw a technology that could revolutionize the way we live? The Japanese made an engine that operated on water in World War II. Have we ever seen that? And what happened to the hydrogen vehicles? You mean we couldn't perfect hydrogen? I mean, it is the smallest molecule on the planet, and it basically was a battery. But if you look now, we haven't done anything in over 60 years. Nothing new. Not even space travel. And we have the ability to do it. If we can make hypersonic missiles, why aren't we going to Mars? What's the barrier? So anyway, my point is there's technologies out there that allow people, that would allow us to change our entire planet and make a lot of the analog things we do obsolete. But a very, very small group of people at the very top control that. That has to change. That's the bottom line. We can't grow. We can't ascend to a different level as a society until we get past that. And look at the politics now. The politics are driven into our society on purpose. Everything now is political, literally everything. I had a conversation today with somebody in the UK. They just did an audit, and I'm not making this up. They just did an audit to determine how effective the company is at surveillance. Surveillance for pandemics, surveillance for political and hate speech. Tell me that's the right direction, because it's not. That's what they're trying to bring in. So that's why I keep saying, what's your line in the sand? Because unity has been the hardest dive into any direction. Even especially in the conservative side of the house. You can't get people to agree on anything. Anything. Pick your flavor. Nothing is agreeable. Everybody's got to be in charge. Everybody's got to have the right idea. Everybody's got the belief system that everybody else has to adopt. And if you don't believe in that belief system, everything's political. You got to cut the politics out of it and get back to the basics. That's why the whole crew has been talking about get right with God. Make human connections. Get ready for contingencies. And we're saying all those things to focus on the basics, because people have forgotten the basics. And the basics are what's going to carry us through the initial phases of this. And, you know, I talked on Wednesday or Thursday, I can't remember which one, about feedback I got from somebody that was saying that we're giving people false hope by telling them to use their stuff. They're only going to survive 4 to 6 weeks without unifying and organizing. And that may be true. But if I'm using the current situation and relating that to a natural disaster, people aren't going to organize until they're completely out of options. That's what it looks like. And I said early on that until people are massively uncomfortable, they're not going to change. And we're seeing that play out right now, because I've been talking about unity for almost a year. And, you know, I was going to start a nonprofit to build the principles that the country should be founded on after we go through this, and what principles that we want to instill in the population. Four people offered to help. You would think that with, you know, thousands of followers, people would be lining up to build a new system, or at least to go through this system and figure out how we rebuild it. And unfortunately, unity is where it always falls, stumbles on unity. And if I'm looking at this from a global perspective, it has to start in the community. It has to start at the local level, has to start in the neighborhood, and you have to work your way out. And you have to filter through all the liberals and all the California retards that have come into, so here in Arizona, it's all the California retards that have brought their shitty politics with them. I have one that lives right two doors down. I can't stand listening to him talk. He's just a moron. He can't even hear himself talk. He's just, so that's the problem. You have so many people that are so staunchly into their belief system, they can't let it go. That's why the Q PSYOP was so effective, because it's created a group of people that can't hear anything else. They can't hear logic. They can't hear facts. They can't hear reason. And they're tying, like somebody sent me this. What's this guy's name? SG Anon. Sent me an SG Anon video this morning. And I didn't know who the hell this guy was. Listened to him for like 5 minutes. All Q stuff. Right, this take time stamp. Trump posted this. That was 2 hours before this event, which correlates with this Q post. God, shoot yourself. My God. It's that kind of crap that keeps us polarized. And that's a highly effective psychological operation, because if you try and question them, they literally will attack you. That, by definition, is a fucking psyop to create conflict within an internal group that you're fighting against. Guess what? Mission successful. Highly successful. You can't talk to anybody in that camp, just like you can't talk to anybody that are the staunch believers of the whole, you know, UFO stuff. Guys like Corey Good and David Wilcock, which David Wilcock couldn't reach a fucking point if he had a gun to his head, and people are hanging on every word. And he's talking about how there's going to be 12 days of darkness, and then the White Hats are going to step in, and the military's going to step in, and then everything's going to be fucking great. We're going to go to the stars. Who buys that shit? I'm watching the economy collapse, the logistical system collapse, politicians stealing more money, banking system collapsing, them stealing more money. And how are we going to do that from here? I mean, that's the problem. The system has to fail for people to realize the system failed. And even then, a lot of them aren't going to fucking believe it. Just like right now, half the population believes that Trump was shot. The other half believes it was all bullshit. You have to crash the system in order for everybody to realize the system crashed. And even then, a lot of them are going to take it to their grave. Anyway, the point is, that's what's preventing unity, is that. Is the psyops, is the politics, it's the belief systems, all of it. The only way the people are going to unite, and I hate to say it, is in misery. Misery loves company. When people have no other options, then they'll start looking around to figure out how they can start working together. And I'd love to say that wasn't true, but that's the way it looks. And anyway. Yeah, we are on our own. We're absolutely on our own, Tax. You don't think we are? You think the government's going to come and save you? Good luck with that. Let me know how that works out. Jesus. Anyway, unity is the hill that we have to climb together. And we have to do it soon. Because if we don't, I'm telling you, what's coming is not going to be pleasant for anybody. And I'll give the left one thing. They are unified in lockstep with their belief system. As fucked up as it is, they are in lockstep. They don't deviate from their work, from their talking points. They don't deviate from their plans. They don't deviate from their agendas. No, you can't stop stupid. You can't fix stupid, but you can charge for it. And I charge for it often. And you'd be surprised at some of the stupid that walks in my door and asks me really stupid things. Ugh. How many times has somebody handed me a loaded weapon saying it's jammed? I can't get it unjammed. So you're handing me a loaded weapon with the round in the chamber. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. That in a nutshell is what we're dealing with. So I don't want to blackpill everybody. That's not the intent of this. The intent is you got to look past the politics. You have to get out of the emotional space. You have to make human connections. Those human connections are what foster unity and foster trust. We have to rebuild trust. We have to rebuild unity, and we have to rebuild community. Those things are all very important. And it's very important that you step away from the social media and get out of that space and start doing things from a visceral perspective. Things you can touch, things you can feel, that has to be front and center right now. Because everything that you're seeing on the global stage is an absolute illusion. And we, as a society, need to get back in touch with what our ethos are. We used to do things from a moral perspective, for moral reasons. And they were all related to our belief system and Christianity. They weren't based on just greed. There was a greed component to it, but it was balanced with a societal aspect of patriotism, duty, honor, country, etc. Right? We've lost that completely. The profit motive and greed cannot be the only thing that unites us as a country. It can't be. It's the reason why most of you are listening right now. You know that the duty out of country piece is being slowly dismantled. And Bill Bupert said it the best. It only takes one generation, and they've completely done away with the duty honor country aspect. We have to get back to that. We have to get back to that soon. And that is the most important thing that we will do as a society over the next 10 years, is to get back to that selfless service. Service before self. Why is that important? It's important because when you look at where we are now, what do you see? You see hedonism, you see greed, you see lack of any kind of a moral compass. You don't see any value of family or of relationships. I mean, just look at average relationships. You know, my old man used to say that you can only love a certain amount of people in your lifetime. And you can only care about a certain amount of people in your lifetime. That your value system is based off of how you show that, right? For some people, it's acts of service. Others, it's words of kindness. Others, it's, you know, a variety of different relationship aspects that build trust in a relationship. But his point was right. We've lost the aspect of valuing relationships. We don't value relationships like we used to. We don't value human interaction. We value technology, stuff, and things that don't matter. You know, I've got stuff. Stuff doesn't matter to me. The people in my life, my family, my friends, the people I care about, that's where my value is. That's where I get my greatest sense of happiness. In fact, somebody said to me, it was about a year ago, you're always more grounded when you're around your kids. Yeah. And my family, because that's my source of, that's everyone's source of strength, right? Everyone. And we spend all of our time chasing things that don't make us happy. You ever watch the movie Fight Club? The best line in the whole movie. You spend your whole life trying to impress people that you don't give a fuck about. And that is absolutely true. Absolutely. And yeah. And to answer your question, Vedic, we have to teach and instill relationships and emotional intelligence at a very young age. And if you look at our society now, the cards were stacked against most of our society generations ago. The dysfunction has been carried down through generations now. That's why I say it's going to take decades to fix this. And the other thing is, we have to relearn how to celebrate the differences in people and in cultures. We don't do that either. If we spent one nanosecond doing that, literally this would be a different planet. And I'm not talking about just us in the US. I mean every culture. But the problem is there's been so much depravity across the planet for so long. It's generational, and that's built up. That's why we have rape cultures. That's why we have cultures that don't have any, lack of a better word, hope. Look at Liberia. Place was a modern country in the 80s, and now it's a shithole. That's the effect of oligarchs at the top trying to keep all the resources for themselves. We have to change that balance of power. And that's why it's going to take a lot of very smart people to think through how to do this so it's fair, and it's a system that's built on fairness, and it allows people to innovate and grow. The capitalist system does that, but there's massive drawbacks. One of them is guys like Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Mark Cuban. Those guys should not be allowed to have that kind of wealth. It just, they've already shown that they're too immature to hold that wealth. So, but I do get a sense, and I've said this before, it bears repeating, I do get a sense that we're going to come out of this as a better country, and that we're going to have a generation that's going to be hard as nails. And I think that's the next order of battle. If you've read the Fourth Turning, that some of this is mentioned in that book, and the piece that I agree with is the part where you have a generation that comes out of this that doesn't tolerate any malfeasance whatsoever from any aspect. That has to happen. And the monetary system has to be reformed, et cetera, et cetera. But I think we're going to be a better country when this is all said and done. Is it going to suck going through it? Absolutely. But it's going to be worth the struggle to get to the other side. And that was the benefit that we got out of World War II. It wasn't the fact that we fought the war. It was the fact we struggled as a country for all those years. And when we came out of it, we came out of it a better country. Better in some ways, worse in others. Politically, we were worse, but as a culture, we were better off. And it was because we were all focused on the nuclear family, which has been the one thing they've tried to destroy. And they try to redefine family too. So there are things to look forward to. There is hope to look at. And most importantly, there is a reason to get out, get away from your computer, get off of social media, and go make human connections. That's to build community. We have to do that. I'll be back Wednesday with the roundtable. I'm going to do the audio-only roundtable on Rumble on Thursday. And then Thursday or Friday, I'm going to do a one-on-one with Matt Bracken. I want to pick his brain on some things that I talked through with Mike Ferris over the weekend, as well as that I talked with Tommy and Tom Luongo on. Want to get his perspective on that. So we're going to do 4 shows this week. And again, T-shirts are finally available. If you want them, you can go grab them. God bless everyone. I'll be back Wednesday. One team, one fight.